Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful as we come into the house of God. Lord, thank you for all the good things you've already done in this church service today. God, we pray today as we open up your word that you open it up to us, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to have a good understanding. May we be the good ground where the word is sown. May it produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Truly today, Lord, we've not come to hear from a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, wide, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord, would you get us back on track with you? Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor, God, because we can't do anything of ourselves, God. It's only in you, God, in abiding in your presence, in your spirit, that we can do anything. And so, God, we thank you for your work in us today. Today, Lord, we don't just ask that you bless us only, but God, that your spirit, your power, and your might would be amongst your church, God. Here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet, God, we bless our brothers and sisters. We pray for them, God. Pray your encouragement, your strength, God, your protection, God. We pray for the persecuted church that you watch over them, deliver them, God. Lord, we know that many in Africa, some 70 people lost their lives, God, beheaded by ISIS, God. We pray your protection over your church. We pray for those mourning and grieving, God. We pray for them as though chained with them in prisons, God. We thank you, Father God, that you're going to deliver them and heal them, and that you're going to move this gospel forward, God. And so we bless the body of Christ worldwide, God. Denominational, non-denominational, doesn't matter to us. We bless the Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Evangelical Free, Set Free, Victory Outreach, Catholic and Adventist, Messianic Jewish, Citizens and Sandals, Ecclesia, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, The Way, Elevate Life, C3, Patria, God, all the great churches that are out there. There's a bunch of them. Harvest, God, Oak Valley, God, great churches, Lord. We bless them, God, just as you would bless us this day. Well, we're not divisive in the body, God. We're united with the body. And so we thank you, God. We're on the same team in the same field, building the same kingdom, God. And that's yours. So, Father, we lift them up to you. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in our land. It's in Jesus' name we're all in agreement. We say, amen, amen. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the third chapter, Romans chapter number 3. And we're going to be taking a look towards the end of the chapter, all right? We're going to finish out chapter 3 today. And I want to start a subject. This is a new series that we're going to be involved in. I don't know how long we're going to go in it, but this is part number 1 of the law of faith. The law of faith. Romans, the third chapter, if you remember, we've been finding out some amazing things in this third chapter. In fact, we found out some big ideas, didn't we? Some big words from the Bible, propitiation being the biggest one that we found out about last time we were together. And we saw that God took our place, that Jesus paid the ransom price. He bought us out of the position of slavery that we were into sin and to the devil, and now he has redeemed us. He's put us into the family of God. We've been reconciled. We've been restored into purpose. And that because of that, there was an exchange that was made, the very life of God for our life. Because he died, we could live. And now we have eternal life in him. We've been justified as just as if we'd never sinned. We've been declared righteous by God, and the grace of God has reached down, grabbed a hold of our lives, and put us into a place of salvation and blessing. And now we see in Romans chapter 3, verse number 27, the Apostle Paul starts in again, and he says this. He says, where is boasting then? Where is it? And he answers the question by saying this: it is excluded. You can't boast anymore. And he says, by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. I want you to notice there's two laws that he points out. There is a law of works and a law of faith. Now, we know that the law of works operates under the law of our conscience and the law of Moses, the law that was given to the children of Israel. There were ceremonial laws, civil laws, right? Priestly laws, things that they had to abide by. And he says that all of those laws, whether they're of our conscience or the law of Moses, that those were fulfilled in works. If you wanted to summarize it all up, it was do this and live. And if you didn't do it, you wouldn't live, you would die. But now we're no longer under that law, and therefore boasting is excluded, because if we could work for it, then we could boast. I did it myself. But he says that's excluded now. Of what law? The law of works? No, the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We discussed that extensively when we talked about justification in the big ideas. What is the big idea? Verse 29, or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Verse 30, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Now, we got to stop right there and just explain some things, because some of you guys may not understand what was just being said because of some of the words that are being used. Now, we know who the Jews are, the Jewish people, right? They came from the tribe of Judah, right? And yet, this encompasses all of Israel. All of the children of Israel, we could say, are the Jews, okay? And anyone who is not a Jew would be considered a Gentile. That was the term for it, okay? So that's probably most of us in this room, okay? So you've got the Jews and the Gentiles, but then he uses the term the circumcised and the uncircumcised. You see, the Jews, through Abraham, who is the father of the Jews, father of the nation, that they consider to be the starting point, that God had called him out as his own special person, that he followed God by faith, and now this nation's come from him. And so he says that in the book of Genesis, that Abraham had a covenant with God. There was an agreement, and it was sealed in blood. And here, Abraham and his whole family were circumcised, and therefore all of the Jews would have been circumcised. So when he says the circumcision, once again, he's talking about the Jews. That means that the uncircumcision is talking about the people who don't have that covenant relationship with God. That would be, again, the Gentiles, anyone outside of the Jewish people. Okay, so are we tracking? All right, good, good, good. I'm glad the six of you are. The rest of you guys, you'll catch up. It's okay, it's okay. Verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, look at this. We establish the law. Now, that's an interesting statement, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the message in depth and in detail to find out really what that verse means. But I want to just take a moment and compare and contrast these two laws that we've seen, both the law of works and the law of faith. You see, the law of works is the principle of what we can do. But the law of faith is based on what Christ has done. With the law of works, we try to justify ourselves. But with the law of faith, God justifies us. With the law of works produces boasting in our efforts and results. I did it my way. But the law of faith excludes boasting in ourselves, but produces boasting in God, in his efforts and in his results. The law of works is never finished. Think about this for a second. If you're trying to save yourselves, what can a man give to save his soul? You'll always be working. You'll always be trying. You'll always be striving. That's the law of works. But the law of faith rests in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So we can see that there's an advantage to the law of faith. And I want to talk to you today about the law of faith, because in these scriptures, we can see some things, some principles that as we draw these things out, that they bring us into a wonderful relationship with God. They enhance our life. My goodness, if you will operate under the law of faith, it's going to bless your life. In fact, it'll bless the people around you too. Because when your cup runneth over, the table gets blessed. Come on, somebody. Everybody around you is going to take notice and see the gift of God on your life and what God is doing in your life, and it will change the world that you live in. And how many of you know that our world needs to be changed? We got to operate under the law of faith. First thing that we can see under the law of faith is this, is that the law of faith removes our ability to boast. Because of faith, we can't boast. Why? Because you couldn't save yourself. You were in a pit that you couldn't get out of. God had to reach down and get a hold of your life and pick you up and take you out of that pit. You can't boast in your works because your works were dragging you down, not lifting you up. And we can't boast in our works, but guess what else we can't boast in? We can't even boast in our faith. I've got more faith than you. I can believe God better than anybody in this room, right? Proud, arrogant, and God is resisting you. Why? Because God resists the proud. So we can't even boast in our faith. It'd be like saying that faith was the cause of our salvation. If you could just believe enough, if you could just have enough faith. But faith is not the cause of our salvation. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a second, hold on. Isn't it by faith we're saved? Yeah, yeah, by. It's not the cause, it's the means. It's the avenue. What does Ephesians say? It is by grace you have been saved, right? That's the cause. Through faith, the means. God reaches through that faith and grabs a hold of our lives by the grace of God, and he lifts us up and he puts us into his family and gives us new life. See, otherwise we could boast against the unbeliever. We could say, well, I'm saved because I have faith. You don't have faith, therefore you're not saved. But I have faith, therefore I'm saved. No, no, no. You're saved because God saved you. Faith was the doorway that opened up for God to come and get you. We need Jesus just as much as the unbeliever does. And faith is in the finished work of Jesus, and the cause is his grace and his mercy. Therefore, we can't boast. We got to humble ourselves before God and only boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he saved us, that he redeemed us, that he raised us, that he lifted us up out of that pit that we were in. I was so blessed a couple years ago to go back to Israel, and while I was there, I visited the Church of the Nativity. There's actually three churches on that site. You've got a couple different groups that lay claim to it, but all of them have their own churches. And in fact, the Orthodox Church is one of the most interesting buildings because it's so ornate. And inside of it, they've got Christmas ornaments hung all around the room. And I remember being 16 years old the first time I went there, and I was able to go down into the cave. Really, it would have been a lambing cave where Jesus was born, right? We think of the manger as this wooden structure, but in Bethlehem, they have these hollow areas and caves that they would have had the lambs in and that sort of a thing, and the shepherds would have been putting those herds inside of there. And so, you know, when we talk about the inn and that sort of thing, really, that's probably what it was. And so I remember being 16 years old and going down in there singing Christmas carols in the place where they believe that Jesus was born. Such a special time. Well, this time around, we didn't get to go into that area. There was a line around the room, and it would have taken probably 2 hours plus to go in there, and every time the Orthodox Church had something going on, you'd have to stop the line. They would walk through, do their procession, do all their activities and things like that, and so we decided not to go down. One of my guys was so mad. He was like, man, I just want to be in that place. I want to put my hand on the spot where Jesus came. I just want to be there, you know? And I said, man, I'm so sorry. But it was interesting as we were leaving, because there's this doorway. You can see this is Pastor Cameron. He's from the East Coast. Great guy. Wonderful man of God. And Pastor Cameron, he's a full-grown man, all right? Now notice, this is a doorway that goes in and out of the church. And Cameron, he's bent down coming through this doorway. It's said that back in the times of the early portion of this church, that people would ride their horses right into the church. And they said, we can't have this going on. So they put this doorway in to remind people, you are coming into the presence of Almighty God. This is the place where Jesus was born. And even though he was a baby, that this is a great king. And when you come into the presence of a great king, you bow. Think about the wise men when they came to see Jesus. Here's three wise men, we think, you know, we think three because there's three gifts. Could have been more, could have been less. But yet, what happens when these wise men come? They believe that these wise men could have been kings, or they could have been astrologers, great magicians, right? The magi, that sort of a thing. And so here's these influential, wealthy men coming from a great distance, traveling at their own expense. And what do? When they see Jesus? They bow down and they worship him. They humbled themselves. You see, when you go into the presence of God, you don't come in boastful. Look at what I did. Look how good I am. Look how great my faith is. No, no, no. You come in humbly. God, I can only boast in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had something to say about this to his disciples. Turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter. In Matthew chapter number 18, we're going to be in verse number 1 through verse number 3. Oftentimes, Jesus' disciples had some disputes. They had a couple spats. These were rugged, rough and tumble guys. And they didn't get everything right, and I'm so grateful that God keeps their stories in the Bible, because it makes me feel good about myself, because sometimes I don't get it right, you know what I mean? And yet God still used these guys in mighty ways, and he was patient with them, and he taught them some things. In Matthew 18, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Notice, that could come with some pride, couldn't it? Someone could boast, I'm the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, there's God, but right next to him, me. But look at what Jesus teaches them. He says, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. Notice Jesus says, hold up, you, come here. Puts him right in the midst of them. And said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as what? Little children. You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Can I get that picture of the doorway up again? The full-grown man, Pastor Cameron, he's having to bend down. Do you think a little child would have any problem walking in that door? No. Why? He's able to make it. See, what's Jesus saying? Unless you are converted and become as little children, what do little children do? Look at Matthew's 19. I had him stand up and wave at me. He just did that. Why? Because I asked him to. No other reason. He didn't know what was going on. He just did it. Why? Because he knows the character of the person that was asking him. With my children, when they were little kids, I'd say, hey, come here, and they would just come. I said, go to your mom. They would go to their mom. We told our children stories when they were growing up about a big man who wore red and white who would come down our chimney and would put gifts for them under the tree, and they believed it. Well, maybe not the little one. He was kind of onto us the whole time. But they believed it. Why did they believe it? Because they knew the character of the people that were telling them these stories. I could have told my kids that I was born on the moon and came down in a flying saucer and God landed me here, and they probably would have believed it. Why? Because Dad said so. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, unless you be converted as a little child. What does that mean? God, if you said it, I believe it. I'm just going to have faith. And God, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do because I know your character, God. Unless you're converted and become as little children, that you're so humble that whatever God says, that's just the way it is. And I don't come proud and haughty, boastful. No, I come in low into the presence of God. Are you listening today? The law of faith removes our ability to boast. Second thing that I see from these scriptures is this, is that the law of faith brings us together. You know, in the natural, we divide, don't we? Divide over everything. Divide over the color of our skin. Well, you're black. Well, you're white. Well, you're Mexican. Well, you're Asian. You're red polka dot, purple polka dot. Oh, my goodness. No, we got to divide over the color of the polka dots. You're a Democrat. You're a Republican. You're a pedestrian. I just can't walk with you. I don't know. You have money. You don't have money. You got a car. You got a bike. Oh, man. Motorcyclists divide. You know that? Well, I got a Harley. Well, I got a Suzuki. We can't ride together. It's true. It's true. We'll divide over anything. Oh, you got brown boots? I got black boots. Sorry. See, we divide over the craziest things, don't we? The type of education that we have, the type of business that we do, we divide over all things. Think about heaven for a second. What if heaven was like that? Would there be a heaven we'd want to be a part of? I mean, what if heaven was like one of those dinner parties, those fancy dinner parties where you had to pay to get in? Anybody ever went to a gala or paid like, you know, some insane amount of money to have a plate of food that you didn't really like? You know, $350 or something like that. And it's for a good cause, I guess, you know. What if heaven was like that? Think about how much it would cost to get into heaven's dinner party. What if it was like $1 billion, you know? Like if you get $1 billion, you can go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There'd be people there, and one guy would probably be there standing there like, man, I worked so hard. I worked all my life. I had to build businesses. I was out there grinding. I was doing all the work myself when I was young, but then I finally got wise and started to build businesses and had some laborers work. I had 7 companies just to make this $1 billion. Saved up all my life. I bought shoes at Rite Aid. Went to the thrift store and bought everything on thrift. Lived in a cardboard box out behind Walmart. I mean, just everything I needed to do, I did. I scrimped and I said, finally got the billion and gave it. And man, I'm so exhausted from where I made it here by the sweat of my brow and the skin of my teeth. There'd probably be another guy that would look at him and go, you're a fool. Man, you worked harder. I worked smarter. I invested in the stock market. When they started talking crypto, I was all into that, man. I had all kinds of stuff and offshore accounts, man, not getting it taxed. And I worked the system, man. I was smart. I did it. You're so dumb, man. You worked all your life. I was coasting through life. I made the billion, and then I just kind of hung out. Made another billion. Got my mama in. Yeah, she was good to me. She birthed me, so I got her in. My best friend over there, my homie. Hey, yeah, you're welcome, bro. Worked hard for this. Hard. I worked smart. Work smart. Another guy sitting across the table with his feet up on the table, just chilling. He's like, both of you are chums. My parents were rich. I got in with just because I paid the billion out of the trust fund, right? You guys did all that stuff. I didn't have to do nothing. See, would that be a heaven that we would want to be a part of? Absolutely not, right? Why? Because it's so divided. See, when we're under the law of works, it divides us. But when we're under the law of faith, it actually unites us. Why? Because it levels the field. You didn't get in because you were hardworking. You didn't get in because you were smart. You didn't get in because of your parents. No, why did you get in? Because we had faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we humbled ourselves, and we all came in the same way. All of us. Doesn't matter your background, your ethnicity, your wealth, your education. We are all in the same boat together. I want to show this to you in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul is talking to them about their salvation. And he says it's by grace you've been saved through faith. Once again, remember, the cause is grace, but the means is faith. And so he says you've been saved for good works that God prepared for you in advance. And he says it's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. We can't boast any longer. But then chapter 2, he starts to talk about their salvation and how it brings them together. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Down through verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 11, says this: therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh. Notice, this is all the people that are outside of the Jewish people. And he says, you were Gentiles where? In the flesh. Now when we divide over the flesh. White, black, red, yellow, green, purple polka dot, whatever, right? But he says, you were once that way. And he says, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh. Once again, this covenant that they had was in their flesh. Made in the flesh by hands. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. See, the Jews had a hope. They had a promise. They had the word of God and they were looking forward to the Messiah. But they were looking forward to a Jewish Messiah that was going to save the Jews. But something else happens in verse 13. Look at this. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, both for the Jew first and then to the Gentile, all of us now are one in him. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What is the enmity? What is this war that Jesus abolished? That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. There it is, the law of works right there. He's abolished that. That's been done away with. It's no longer what saves us. Contained in ordinances so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. That's one of the reasons why I love this church, because when I look around, I don't see a bunch of people that look like me. In fact, if you notice today, I might have been the only white person on the platform other than Anita over there doing sign language. This church is diverse. Diverse in cultures. We've got men and women in ministry. We've got every age group, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. I can't tell you how many people greet me at the back door with a bow, greet me at the back door with a handshake, greet me at the back door with a big bear hug. My goodness, I love it. There's diversity in every area. We've got wealthy sitting next to very poor. We've got educated hanging out with the uneducated. We've got people fellowshipping with people that they used to be in rival gangs with. Come on, you know we're in San Bernardino, but that's the beauty of this place, is that it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter the blood that's in your flesh. No, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that binds us together. And that's a heaven that I want to be a part of. The rainbow of colors and, oh my goodness, every background, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, coming in unity, in unison, praising the Lamb of God who is slain. Come on, let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. One final thing that we can see from these scriptures is that the law of faith fulfills the law. The law of faith fulfills the law. You say, Pastor, you sound like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. The law of faith fulfills the law. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, the Jews probably knew exactly what that meant. Remember that the Jews were raised under the law, okay? And when we speak of the law, we're talking about the Old Covenant. They had the law of Moses that was given to them. In fact, the law and the prophets, if you combine them into one, they would call that the law, okay? It was everything that God had spoken to them. They had the commandments, hundreds of them that they were looking forward to. And then on top of that, man got involved and added a whole lot more. And so they lived their whole life believing that that's what was going to save them. And so I would imagine listening to the Apostle Paul, some of them were a little disturbed, like, wait a second, hold on. You're talking about faith, and yet I've given my life for the law. Is it all in vain? Are you just doing away with it? Remember verse 31, do we nullify or void the law of God? And he says, no, we establish it. And they go, wait, hold on, what are we talking about? Because I've given my entire life for the law, and now you're saying this. Well, notice he says we establish it. What does it mean to establish the law? Well, think about this. To establish the law means that we put the right use of the law into practice. What was the purpose of the law? The law was the ruler. It was the straight edge that when we line it up against our lives, we realize, man, I'm crooked. I'm off. The law would show us where we were sinful. We might have looked at the law and said, well, hey, I'm good here. But then as we measured up, we would say, oh, I'm off there. The law pointed out to us, this is where you're wrong. And even the law of conscience does the same, doesn't it? You start to get involved in something, all of a sudden your conscience is there. That's wrong. So the law showed us where we were off, but the law also did something else. The law pointed us to Christ. Isn't that what the book of Galatians said? That it was our schoolmaster holding us under until the time of Reformation when Jesus would come? Jesus made this mention to the scribes and the Pharisees. These were the religious leaders that studied the law day and night. And he said, you guys study the scriptures looking for life, but they're all pointing to me. See, the law pointed to Christ. And so the law, in that sense, is good. Why? Because I need to know where I'm off. If I'm wrong, I want to know. Why? So I can get right. And if the law is going to point me the right direction, then I need to be pointed in the direction of the one who is right, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And when I have faith in Jesus, what am I saying? I'm saying the law is good, and let me establish the right use of it, that the law will show me where I'm off, but it's going to point me to the one who can do something about my situation, and therefore, I establish the law. That's what it means. Let me read Romans 3:31 in the New Living Translation. It says, well then, if we emphasize faith, does it mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Notice in one translation it says establish. Now in this translation it says fulfill. Fulfill means to fill to completion, to fill it up to the fullest. It leaves no room for misinterpretation. When we live by faith, we will fill up our lives with the works of faith that will leave no room for people to misinterpret the law that we're really living by. People are going to know you by what comes out of your life. They're going to know whether or not you're proud, you're boastful, whether you're divided, or whether you are united, and whether you're humble. They're going to see the things that produce from your life of faith. There's a story about H.A. Ironside. He lived up in the Bay Area, and one day he was bringing someone from a far away state to come and to teach them about the things of God. They had no religious background, no religious context. They didn't know the scriptures. And so he brought them by train over, and so they got off at the train station. He met them there, picked them up, and brought them over to his house. And there, they sat him down in the living room and said, hey, hang tight, we're going to go check on dinner. And so he sat there for a while, and then they came, they got him, his dinner's ready. They took him into the big dining room. They all sat around the table together, had a meal. At the end of the meal, they started to talk about the things of God, and they had a text that they were reading from in the book of Galatians. Galatians talks a lot about the law of works and the law of faith. And as they were talking about that, they asked this gentleman, they said, do you understand what we're talking about with the law of works or the law of faith? And he says, I think I get it. You know, when I came here, I came by train, and when I got off at the train station, big, beautiful train station, better than anything I've ever seen in my state, it was gorgeous. But I noticed there was spit all over the ground, and there was a sign that said, no spitting here. And yet, with the sign, no spitting here, there was spit all over the ground. And I found myself after a moment spitting there too. But then I came to your house. And as I approached your house, I didn't see any sign in your house that said no spitting here, and yet there was no spit on your house. When I came into your beautiful drawing room, and when you sat me down on the beautiful couch, I didn't see any sign that said no spitting here, and I looked around, and yet there was no spit anywhere on your house. You brought me into the dining room. There in the dining room, there's no sign that said no spitting here, and yet no one had spit in your dining room. In one place, there was a sign, there was a law that said no spitting, and yet people spat all over the place. But here, because it's so beautiful and because there's love here, I don't want to spit on your house because I love you and I love your beautiful home. Therefore, I'm not going to spit. They all sat there with their mouths open. They said, that's the best example of the law of works versus the law of grace that we've ever seen. See, in our lives, we need to realize that faith works by love. And when we're in God's house, when we're in the midst of God's family, all the people of God, When we're going out there and living our lives by faith, the love of God is going to work through our lives because faith works by love. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Therefore, that love is going to be produced in and through our lives. And no longer do I need the law to tell me not to steal, not to commit murder, not to commit adultery, not to not make a graven image or to take the Lord's name in vain or to have any other gods before him. No, I've got a love for God so much so that I don't need that sign anymore. I don't need that law anymore. I've got love producing the works of God through my life. That's what this is all about. When you operate in the law of faith, God's going to produce his life in and through your life, no longer because of the letter, but now because of love. What did we learn today? We learned that the law of faith removes our ability to boast. It brings us together as one, and it fulfills the law. What we do is not based any longer by external commands, but by the reality of the faith that we now live in. Would you bow your heads with me and would you close your eyes and just take a moment? No one getting up, no one leaving during this time. Let's give God some time to work in our lives and just ask the Holy Spirit this question. Say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. What is God speaking to you? Doesn't take long for God to speak. As he's ministering to your heart, make sure to write it down. You don't want to forget what he's saying. You're welcome to share with a faithful friend or a spouse, someone that you trust. Even online, you're welcome to post in the comment section. It's always encouraging if it's appropriate to post it there and other people can see it. It brings accountability, but it also brings agreement. There's tremendous power in agreement. Maybe today God is talking about pride, boasting, and he's inviting you into this powerful, wonderful world of humility, saying as you bow low and come into this kingdom with a humble heart, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, the power of God, the strength of God on your behalf when you couldn't do it, to the humble. What is God speaking to you? Maybe today God is talking about the unity in the body of Christ. Maybe you've been divided. You might have been prejudiced. Right now God is removing those things, breaking down walls. Maybe forgiveness is flooding you for those that hurt you in the past. And now no longer do you see them as those people. Now you see them as people who need Jesus. People whom you love, or if they're in the church, your brothers and your sisters. If you have to, just say it out loud if you need to. I forgive them. Just give it to the Lord. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. What's God speaking to you? Maybe today God is talking to you about this wonderful world of faith that you're living in and fulfilling the law. That as it points you back to Christ, that his life will be lived in and through you. And that the works that are coming out of you will be of faith. He might be giving you an action plan. He might be telling you, hey, this is what you're going to do with this. Again, write it down. Write the plan down and be diligent today to do it. Don't wait a week. Do it now. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to our hearts today. We're so grateful, God, that you've invited us into this wonderful realm of faith, God. And as we learn, as we grow, God, may we bless your heart and do those things which are pleasing in your sight by faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Everybody in agreement said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, hallelujah. Come on, can we give the Lord a praise? Once again, no one get up, no one leave during this time. Pastor Antonio, would you lead us in this moment of giving?
Man, Pastor Dan, thank you so much. Can we thank Pastor Dan teaching us the word of God this morning? Holy Spirit, thank you for being our teacher, our guide. Man, we are having a good time in church today, don't you know? It's only been an hour. We can wait just a little bit longer. God still has some more things to do, including getting our hearts, preparing our hearts to receive the honoring of the Lord this morning. That's right. We cheer. We get excited. Why? Because we know that we are blessed to be able to give. We are blessed to be able to sow. And there are some amazing things that happen when we partner with Jesus in terms of in the area of our finances, right? Hey, can we all stand up for a moment? We're going to make a declaration. We're going to make a declaration of faith. I don't know about you, but we always make faith statements, right? Whether it be about our health, about our marriage, our families. It's no different in the area of our finances. I don't know. Does anyone have need of anything in this place today, right? Maybe you need an oil change, or you need to fill up your tank. You only put a few dollars just to get to church and home. And I mean, we have needs, right? Then you know God is the one who provides our needs. Amen. So we want to make some declarations of faith. Come on, say this with me. And like Pastor Dan says, when it's one of the really good ones, make sure you point real good, all right? So get your pointer fingers out. It's something you need. I'm going to be quiet when it comes to jobs, okay? So, but maybe not you. I love my job. But you guys, but maybe you guys need a good job. Pastor Dan, no saying jobs and better jobs, right? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. As we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs. Your word says you are able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I now give into the kingdom of God to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, do we have any witnesses in the place? If anyone received any of these things that you guys have declared in faith this morning, amen, amen. As you're taking our seat, ushers at this time, if you guys are in need of an envelope so you can give by cash and get that tax-deductible receipt at the end of the year, you can raise your hand. Our ushers would love to get that to you. There are also some in the seat backs in front of you. The ways that you can give today are on the screen right behind me. Maybe it's the QR code, the Rock Church app. I love the app because it is absolutely free. Come on, dad jokes in the place today. Download that for free. You can stream, find out all the different things that are going on. And it's always a good time. Or maybe the QR code. There's even some seat backs in front of you. You can punch on those and set up your giving there. All right, you guys, good. I want to pray over our tithes and offerings this morning. Come on. Any cheerful givers in the place? That's right. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord God, because we know that you are our provider, Lord God. We know that you will take care of all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And today, we're not giving from a bank account. We're not giving from lack. We're not giving because we have some extra that we're just... Father, we are giving from a cheerful heart, and we are giving, Lord God, from a privileged position to know, Lord God, that you allow us to partner into what you're doing, into building your house locally and around the globe. So we thank you, Jesus, for these tithes and offerings that you will continue to build your house. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Ushers, at this time, you can go ahead and receive the honoring of the Lord. I have a few announcements. But speaking about what one of the things that your gifts does, one of our first things is we have Loving Our City. Loving My City is coming up. That's right. It's a church outreach. One of the things we're going to be doing that is giving shoes away to those people in need. So if you want to give specifically to that, there's a QR code or there's the sample. You can type in the word shoe and then a number that you want to give, and that will go specifically towards that shoe event, that shoe giveaway coming up. And man, we are so privileged to partner with what God is doing in our city. Don't we love our city? We love our region. We love our community. And again, a privilege it is to serve. Next thing, this upcoming Wednesday, say Wednesday, Reverend Tony Cook is going to be in the house. We love when he comes. Pastor, or Reverend Tony teaches all over the globe. He leads trips throughout the he sees the Pauline churches. He goes to the different churches. Reverend Tony does amazing things. He's had his books translated into several different languages. He is a Bible's teacher, Bible's teacher. I mean, he is supreme, and so we are so blessed to sit under his ministry this upcoming Wednesday. So we are looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday. And then also, this is a little bit more sad news. Daylight savings is coming up this upcoming weekend, but not the good one, right? It's not the good one. It's the one that we don't like. It's the one that we tried to vote out time and time again, but yet they come and rob us from sleep. And parents feel this a little bit extra, right? Our bodies tend to adjust. Kids, for some reason, it's like, nope, nope, no. But anyways, so I just wanted to be the bearer of bad news. But church will still be here, 9 and 11. I'm assuming you guys will still be here at the 11 because you'll get some sleep. We really pray for the 9 o'clock people, because it's like you come early because they might try to take your seat, right? They might try to take your seat because they're going to be coming to second service, okay? And then the last one for you, we have our Rock Church Sports League coming back up. Hey, maybe you don't have kids, but you know some neighbor kids. Like, man, these kids need to get some busy with some. Tell them we have a Rock Church Sports League that they can get involved in. There's a tent that will tell you all the information you need to know. But there's a basketball league starting from kindergarten through sixth grade. And then even for 3 and 4 year olds, there's a little Tiny Tots softball league that will be starting. Or a T-ball league. So we want to encourage you and invite you out to come and be a part of that. Amen and amen. Right? Sports is fun. I mean, competitive. Like, I'm just tell you right now, my daughter's enrolled, and I'm going to take the pastor hat off when it comes to cheering. And don't trip, all right? Because it's a home run. It's a home run. No, just kidding. All right. We love you guys. Hey, pay attention to the screens, and Pastor Dan will be right back with us.
If you stay faithful, if you stay pure, if you stay humble, if you stay righteous and holy, God sees you. He will bring the favor of God upon you, and people will be attracted to that. They'll either be jealous of it or they will want it. And they will say, what are you doing? And you can say, oh, all I'm doing is serving this amazing God who absolutely loves you, and you can serve him too. And you can begin to witness and be a light in a very dark, dark world.
Make sure to get your kids signed up for camp. They're going to have a life-changing experience. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. You know, speaking of, Tony's got jokes today, man. It's a lot of fun. I love that guy. We were laughing yesterday because Pastor Brian was talking about the faith confession and not about the jobs portion. He was saying about the estates and inheritances. He's like, I try not to look at Steve and Wendy, his parents on the front row, because, you know, I don't want to believe God for that, because in order for that to happen... So Adam and I were talking the other day. Adam's our CFO, and we were talking about, did you guys know we give you a gift? You didn't know that? If you go to our homepage, rockchurch.com, find the giving tab, we have a gift for you. If you don't have a will or a living trust, we have a free one available for you. Take about 20 minutes to set it up. It's absolutely free. That's just a gift to you. Okay, so we pay for that service to have you guys do that. So if you don't have a will, a lot of people die without it. Your stuff goes into probate, and it's just a mess for your family. And so this will help you in that process. You can do a free will or a living trust. And so with that, they have this option available on there that if somebody wants to, in their decease, in their passing, if they want to give any financial blessings to the church at the end of it. So I asked Adam, has anybody done the free will thing? And he was like, well, let me check. So he looked at it, and there was a bunch of people that did it. I was amazed. Now, here's what was even more amazing, is that there were some very generous people that in their passing said, we want to give to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And so you want to know the amount? The total of all the gifts that people gave together, okay, this is the combined for all the people, $1.4 million. Now, don't clap too quick, because in order to get that money, anyways, we're thankful, but we're believing for long, full life, okay? So just Amen. 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 Hey, before we leave this place, I want to just take these last moments of our time together. I want to ask you once again, don't get up, don't leave. The most important part of the service for some of you in this place is right now. Talking about our final exit, talking about our decease. What if today was your last day? Say, Pastor, I've got so much time. I'm young. I'm spry. I'm healthy. I've got everything I need. Listen, you don't know when your last days is going to be. We're all in an accident, one incident, one virus, one breath away from eternity. You know, world leaders just recently gathered together. If you've been watching the news. And the term World War III came out because times are very volatile. You don't know what's going to happen, and don't think that it can't happen in our land. It just takes one button to be pushed. One good earthquake, and we're meeting in the park. One car accident, and it's your last day. And so don't think that you have more time to mess around and then you'll get right with God later in life. You need to pay attention right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. He said, Pastor, leave me alone. Jesus went to the cross. All roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. It's not what the Bible teaches. All roads don't lead to heaven any more than all roads lead to the moon. You can drive around the earth as long as you want. You'll never make it. See, it's God's heaven. We've got to get there God's way. There's only one way to heaven. That's God's way. You say, oh, okay, don't worry about me. I've been good. I've been a good person. I've done a lot of good deeds. Been nice to my neighbors, kind to my family members, given money to charities. I'm really a good person. I haven't done any of that big stuff. You know, I haven't murdered anybody or committed adultery. But like we heard today, that means that you can boast. I did it my way. I'm so good. God, you got to let me in. Listen, no flesh will glory in God's presence, the Bible says. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it to heaven based on your goodness because you can't be good enough. No matter how good you are, you will always fall short. You will die and go to hell. Even a good person will die and go to hell if they don't get to heaven God's way. Today, can I love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to tell you the truth and not play games? See, Pastor, I'm not feeling very loved right now. I'm feeling very unsafe, and you're very mean. Listen, it's a good thing that I'm getting in your face. You know, my kids were playing in the street, and I yelled at them and said, hey, get out of the street. Don't be stupid. You called your kids stupid? No, I said, playing in the street is stupid. And the most loving thing I can do as a parent is warn them of danger. Same way, most loving thing I can do as your pastor is warn you. Hey, hell is real. And you don't want to go there. And so today, receive this love. Listen up, because we're talking about your eternal life. Some of you are saying, well, wait a second, Pastor. I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Born in a Christian home, born in a Christian nation. Went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, catechism class. Maybe your parents hung a cross or St. Christopher around your neck. Had you baptized or christened as a child. You've always considered yourself to be a Christian. Not any other religion, not Buddhist, not Muslim, not Hindus. We're Christians, right? Wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that your upbringing, your family association, your location, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved in, none of that will get into heaven. There's no default setting because you're not some other religion that by default God lumps you into the category of being a Christian. You get to head for heaven and deny hell. It's not going to make it. You might be thinking, all right, Pastor, but you know, it wasn't just a childish thing for me. It wasn't just my parents. I'm here right now. Here I'm sitting in front of you as an adult. Here I'm watching online right now. Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? No. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you sit in a place, call yourself a thing, it makes you a thing. It's like me going to my garage saying I want to be a car. I'm a car, I'm a car, I'm a car. Beep, beep, vroom, vroom, I'm a car. Nope. I will never take people 65 miles per hour down the freeway. Never host anyone in my body. Listen, without another vehicle, I can't do that. In the same way, you can't just sit in church and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Amen, hallelujah, I'm a Christian. Nope. Something deeper that's got to take place than just your external position and what you're saying. Okay, Pastor, but you know, my last church, I didn't just sit. I got involved. I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church. That's great. You're boasting again. In your works, in your goodness, and what you can do. Listen, God's not some bank commercial standing at the gates of heaven saying, what's in your wallet? Looking for a membership card to a church or a volunteer hours sheet. That's not going to make it. Oh, Pastor, okay, don't worry about me. I get it. I get what you're saying. Don't worry about me. I know God. I know about Jesus. Know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. Yeah, so's the devil. You'll find the devil quoting scriptures in the Gospels. He's not a Christian. He's not saved. He's not going to heaven. Demons believe, and they tremble. Why? Because they know their end. They're not going to make it. So everybody look up here at me for a second. Even online, look at your screen right now. It's not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about knowing who Jesus is or having mental assent towards God. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. But rather, you still watching? It's about your heart. Jesus addressed this in John, the third chapter. He said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know our society's raked that term through the coals. They made a mockery out of it. Let's not let society, Hollywood movies, television, books, and blogs on the internet define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us. Being born again, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, has always meant the same thing. Simply means this, that you've surrendered to God all of your heart, and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's a simple surrender that says, hey, I can't do this on my own. I can't work enough. I can't be good enough, smart enough, nice enough, pretty enough, know enough scripture, attend enough church. I'm at a loss in myself, and therefore I need God to come and save me. And I believe in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And when you have that simple surrender and you say, I give all my heart, all my life to Jesus, he comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. Remember, God is looking at your heart, not the external things, but the internal things. And when you surrender all of your heart and life to Jesus, he comes in and he makes you brand new. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart. The slate is wiped clean. The past is now wiped away. And it's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to a church, just like he's speaking to us here in this church and online today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. That's pretty gross words from the mouth of Jesus. Vomit? Ew. But what's he saying? He's saying half-hearted lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. Really what he's saying is in and out, in or out. Either you is or you ain't, but you can't be both. And so you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity, because the Bible says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I want to lead you in that simple confession, but I want to know who I'm praying with. And so in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. And when I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand popping that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making the statement that I want to give God all my heart and life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. Then you can put it right back down. You might be thinking, whoa, 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 wait a second. Time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? No one would make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God? Come on. Yet the devil thinks you're a fool and he's trying to talk you out of it right now. Tell that devil to go jump in a fire lake and you go on with God and get ready to get your hand up. Listen, even if you are embarrassed, it's better than end up in hell. Jesus made this statement. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. I'm a man. I'll see it go up, put it right back down online. Just throw it up for a moment and put it right back down. But he also said this on the opposite side of the statement, if you deny me, or some translations say, if you're ashamed of me, he says, I will deny or be ashamed of you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. Or how about this? Make the right choice. Choose life today. Give God all of your heart. Give God all of your life. Who should raise their hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before. Could have been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line giving God all of your heart and life. I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise their hand? Maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you're half-hearted. Maybe you're backslidden. And you need to come home like the prodigal. Make a fresh rededication to the Lord. You can do that in this time. Remember, this is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Today is the day of your salvation. Get ready to get your hands up all across this auditorium, back in the family rooms, wherever you're at listening, in the foyer, watching in television, in the cafe down there. Hey, even online, wherever you're at, all over the world, get ready to get your hands up. God is watching right now. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Way in the back, there's 10 and 11. Thank you. 12, 13, 14 right there. Thank you. 15 over here. 16 right there. 17, 18 up on top. 19 right there. 20 on this side. Thank you. If I saw your hand, you're welcome to put it down. If I didn't see your hand yet, get that hand up real high. There's 20 wise people already giving God all their heart and giving God all of their life. Point over in this direction, way over here. Thank you, Sam. There's 21, 22, 23. Thank you. God bless you guys. Fantastic. 24. Awesome. Anybody else? 24, 25. Yeah, got you right there. Thank you. God bless you. I got you. It's fantastic. The best decision of your entire life right there. Anybody else? Just want to make sure there's 25 wise people. Anybody else? Just want to give you that opportunity. Give you one more time, one more chance, one more opportunity. Anybody else? Listen, I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. And if your heart's beating out of your chest, you broke out in a sweat and wish I'd shut up, I think God's trying to talk to you. Anybody else real quick? Anybody else? Just want to give you that one more. Hey, all right, 26. Fantastic. It's great. Best decision right there. 26. Another one on this side. 27. Hey, wonderful. I see you. It's awesome. Anybody else? Last call. All right, let's give the Lord a hand for 26 wise people. Hallelujah. Ooh, the Lord just whispered this to my heart. Okay. Number 27, 28, 29, and 30. You didn't raise your hand, but you should have. Here's what I want you to do. Let's all stand together. No one leave during this time. And 1 through 26, you raised your hand. And 27 through 30, you didn't raise your hand, but you should have. Well, you get out of your seat, get in now, and meet me up front. We're going to pray together right here at the altar. But we need you to come down right now. Just come on down. Come on. Parents, bring your children if they raise their hand. Children, come with your parents if they raise their hand. Come on down right now. Come on. Don't leave your stuff. Get your stuff. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Come on, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. We're going to do that right here at the altar right now. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. You can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Even if you didn't raise your hand, just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Families are coming. Look at this. Come on. How good is God? Anybody else, if you need to come, just come right now. Come on, look at this. They're still coming. You can come too. You can come too. Church, be the full-time minister. Nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them. Bring them down right now. They just might need your courage. They might need some encouragement. Just grab them. Say, come on. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them. Anybody else, come on down. You guys look so good, I tell you. It's amazing. God's going to do a work in your heart right now. Came to give God all of your heart and all of your life. Going to be born again, made brand new. Now tomorrow you're going to wake up, you're going to look the same, smell the same. The devil's going to try and come and tell you, oh, it didn't stick to you. You were too bad. You were manipulated. That pastor's wrong. He's going to lie to you. Listen, tell the devil, get out of here. I'm not listening. I know that when I made that decision by faith, that God came in and did something in my heart. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart. There's no commitment worth anything without consistency. What does that mean? That means you got to keep going with it. He who endures to the end will be saved, Jesus said. And so this is the first step in a lifelong journey. We're here for you. We want to encourage you. Keep coming to church. In fact, give us this next year. Keep coming. Next year, March 2nd, 2026, you'll look at your life and say, wow, look at what God has done. Keep praying. Prayer is just simply talking with God. Just like I'm talking to you right now, you don't have to have the these and the thous and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes we get all up in our heads about it. Did I have the right words to say? Listen, God can muddle through your words and figure out what the prayer is, all right? He knows your heart. So just have a heartfelt talk with God. Say, God, I'm frustrated. God, I love you. God, thank you for today. God, would you help me? Simple prayers like that from the heart are the ones that God loves, okay? And just get into your Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one, okay? Get a verse, something that speaks to you every day. Connect with God. Remember that verse. Remind yourself of it. Maybe you want to write it down on a little note and keep it with you throughout the day and just read it. Put it on your mirror in the bathroom, something that speaks to you. And you just every morning brushing your teeth, reading the word, okay? Speak it over your life. It's amazing what God will do. With those thoughts in mind, I want to lead you in this prayer, this confession of your faith, to give God all of your heart and all of your life. You're going to be born again, made brand new. A miracle is going to happen in your life right now. Even online, come on and join us in this prayer. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I want everybody to repeat this, but especially those of you who have given your hearts to the Lord. Say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all of my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, can we give the Lord a praise right now? Guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now listen, when I got saved, I was 15 years old. I was raised in church, but I still needed some encouragement, needed some help, needed someone to come alongside me and teach me some things and help me to grow in the things of God. And God blessed me. He took me around the world preaching the gospel and missions and then brought me to this place. I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing. What am I saying? Life with God is an adventure, and it's absolutely amazing. Get ready, because God's going to do great things in your life. But you need someone to encourage you. You need some help. Okay, so this is my friend, Pastor Joel, waving at you. Real good guy. He's going to do three things. I'm going to let you know what they are in advance. He's going to give you some free stuff, okay? Free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next in your walk with God. Secondly, he's going to introduce you to some amazing people we have here. They're friends, okay? We call them spiritual personal trainers. He'll describe what that is, how it works. It's easy, it's free, and you need to do it, all right? And it'll bless you. But then thirdly, real important, okay, he's going to let you go after a couple minutes, all right? Okay, your friends and family will wait for you. If you got your kids over there in the children's ministry, they're safe, all right? And they'll have them for you when you get out, all right? So just make a left turn, follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise as they go. Hallelujah. Online, we want to thank you guys for joining us. If you prayed that prayer with us, right after we dismiss, there'll be some instructions for you as well. I want to encourage you to get a hold of those same connections, okay? But church, love you guys. Let's go out there and live this life of faith. It's going to be absolutely wonderful as the love of God just goes in and through our lives to a lost and dying world. Tonight, 6 p.m., bring someone with you back to church. We're going to have a different music, different message, and just going to be the same God teaching us and leading his church. In fact, I think Pastor Joel is preaching tonight on the words of our mouth. I need to get that message tonight, all right? So it's going to be really, really healthy, really, really strong. I'm excited to be in church with you guys tonight. If it's not Pastor Joel, hey, it's the Holy Ghost through all of us, right? So it's going to be good. You're going to love it. Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. Lord, all the promises of God are theirs in Christ Jesus. They are yes and they are amen. And so we bless them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. God, and about our inland empire, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the inland empire shall be saved. What a
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.